Realms of peril and glory will begin after these short messages.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
We'd like to thank our patrons, Zeus Legion, Jane Dell, and EvieBun125 for their support in making this series possible. If you'd like to join our fabulous patrons and help keep the lights on here at Realms of Peril and Glory, then head over to patreon.com/lightandtragic. For your support, you will get things like bonus shows, ad-free listening, and our exclusive games like the recently premiered Vale Adventures in Aethryl, which are available to listen to right now. And in return, Realms of Peril and Glory will be able to continue existing. We're an independent production that thrives on your support. So again, if you're able to, head over to patreon.com/lightandtragic to support the show. We'll see you there. Welcome one and welcome all back to Realms of Peril and Glory. My name is Zachary Fortescom and I will be your game master today. Joining me are four fantastic players. For again, that means we have a special guest star on today's episode of Liminal and this whole series. Please, starting with Liz, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Liz Campbell and today I'm playing American Werewolf in London, Mags Holt.
Pip?
Hello there, I'm Pip Gladwin, and I will be playing failed P-Division Inspector, now alcoholic Private Eye, Declan Buchanan.
Amazing. Naomi.
I'm Naomi Thinksit, the sad girl under your bed, and I will be playing Three Card Monty.
And finally, who is our guest star today?
Hello, I'm Grant Howitt, and I'll be playing Oliver Barker. Long lost and socially climbing cousin of the Barker clan.
Oh my god. Incredible. So once again, we find ourselves in Liminal London with the fantastic game Liminal by Paul Michener. If you'd like to play the game, you can pick it up at the link in the podcast description. Now, as is custom on this, we will throw over to Naomi for a London fact.
London fact.
London fact.
So I will be giving a fact today about Europe's biggest crime scene, and that is the British Museum.
Yes.
The British Museum actually has a snail, which holds the record for the longest suspended animation.
How long is it?
It was donated in 1846.
I thought you were going to say it.
Until 1852.
Honestly, Naomi, this was way more impressive when you weren't reading it off a phone.
I'm sorry.
So if everyone's ready, let's begin. We find ourselves once again in London, the grand capital of the United Kingdom. The lofty past of this city feels like an ever-looming presence in the day-to-day lives of its citizens. Many buildings have stood for centuries, some for more than a millennium. There was a time when London was considered the center of the world, and to many, it still very much is. From the bleached bone-colored buildings of Whitehall to the dingy alleys of the East End, there are many who ignorantly boast the days of when Britannia ruled the waves. Some, however, have chosen to ignore the fact that those days have ended. we find ourselves in Bloomsbury, a quiet and quaint area in the center of London, home to the hulking figure of the British Museum. Deep within the institution, far out of the path any casual tourist might take, is an enormous marble-covered room. Hanging in the middle of this circular space is an immaculate crystal chandelier. It illuminates the room not with light bulbs, but instead, candles. No matter how long the candles burn, they never seem to drip, and they never shrink. The light dances on the wizened faces of five elderly men, each with a more manicured white beard than the last. The Council of Merlin sit in their high-backed chairs, raised on a marble stage, facing the subject of their meeting. A young person stood before them, clad in black from head to toe. Grant, please could you describe your character for us?
When you say clad in black, is that like a goth or a wizard or both?
How would you like to define
okay,
that?
Okay, I figured this is some sort of ceremonial garb for the Merlins.
It can be, yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm wearing it looks a bit like a graduation gown. And I've got my normal clothes on underneath it.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying my best. I'm really doing everything I can. Oliver Barker is a 5'11". Intense young man, desperate to get out of this and indeed any situation he finds himself in. He is visibly sweating. Is the Order of Merlin like one of those mask wearing?
Council of Merlin are very much like, they want you to know they're there.
Right,
they're
okay,
showing.
Cool. Yeah, okay. I wish I had to wear a mask at this point, just for like the anime grade sweat drip coming down the side of my head. And I'm surrounded by this semicircle of Gandalfs.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
Yeah. One of them, who you know is Polonius Trimble, clears his throat and looks pointedly at you and says,
and you understand your assignment?
Yes. Lord Trimble.
Good.
And his voice echoes through the chamber, and he waves his hand, and a piece of parchment with an image magically displayed floats down to you.
Find this man, the detective. He will be the key to this.
Very, very good. And just so I know, if anything does go wrong, is there a number I call, or do I? Okay, no, I understand. I understand, sir.
Well, another voice does pipe up from the side of the room, and which is, it's Benedict Wooster.
I wonder what his voice is like.
He says,
you do know. You do know that this is your final chance, don't you? You will prove your loyalty to this council, or you shall be expelled.
Oh, absolutely, Lord Wooster. I wouldn't dare of being disloyal to the council. But just, you know, it does seem like a very high stakes situation. But no, I understand. Absolutely, shouldn't be a problem at all.
Good,
sir, Lord Master.
Lord will
Lord,
do.
Lord, very
Thank
good.
Thank you. Then away with you, then.
Very good, sir. Thank you, sirs, for this final opportunity.
Is Lord Wooster played by Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes,
like,
yeah,
but
it's
like
played
at
by
11?
Robin Williams, but well, as Mrs. Doubtfire.
But Mrs. Doubtfire is playing a Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
She's in, like, triple reverse drag.
Yeah. Exactly that, yes. And the candles and the chandelier... Woof out, woof.
They
like
woof. The
yes.
Candles.
Oh, it's all dog powered chandeliers around here. Yeah.
The
a big dog runs into the room and barks super loud, and all the candles go out. That's some Elden Ring shit right there.
The pleasures of wizardry.
The candles extinguish themselves, and as they do, so to disappear the five members of the Council of Merlin.
And all the the lights come up, and I'm just standing like at the back of the gift shop.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
like talking like 6 inches away from a book on Sumatra.
Yeah, you just see, yeah, exactly. You see like the face of a mannequin that's wearing some weird
costume armor.
Yeah, I hurriedly buy a an eraser in the shape of the Rosetta Stone and leave.
How many erasers have you ever purchased like this? Like, how is this adding to a collection of Rosetta Stone erasers?
You can't buy something if you're in the game. Like, I don't want them to think I was suspicious. And I failed the council so many times.
So many times. So what is your first move, Oliver?
Well, my first move is to try and track down this detective.
Excellent. Type. You've been given a number and you've been given an address.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. I suppose he doesn't know I'm coming. I will walk out of the front of the British Museum, down those iconic steps.
Iconic.
Past 200 to 300 Spanish teenagers.
Absolutely.
And into the large sort of courtyard area. Let's find a robot and beat it. No, I'm going to call up Declan on my phone.
Absolutely. So we are going to move over to Camden Town, where we find Declan Buchanan. Declan,
are we all there?
No.
I just want to be in his flat, quietly cleaning, like a foot square at a time.
I was going to say, do we know how much time has passed, or are we getting into that?
Well, I will tell you. Probably about 5 weeks have passed since we last saw you all with Annie. You have been able to tell me exactly what has happened in that time, and could I get you to roll me a business check? Because I would like to see what percentage of the money you've made recently remains.
Now, just for my own personal reminder, we're rolling 2d6 on 2D6. Skill checks. We're adding bonuses. And if we are completely untrained in that skill,
mm-hmm.
is that
flat.
Just a flat to flat
That's
check?
That's right, yeah.
Cool. All right. That is a 9.
A 9. Excellent. So you gave your entire portion of the last job to Annie.
Yeah, my share. I wouldn't.
So you made about 3,300 pounds total from the last two jobs. You probably still, I'm guessing you've spent money on rent. You've spent money on food.
Alcohol.
Obviously alcohol, not too much of it, but actually it was a decent success. So I'll say you have about 1,000 pounds still kicking around. Right. And we find you in the Stag's Head, your local pub.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a fresh pint of what?
Nondescript lager.
Nondescript lager pulled for you by this. This is your regular kind of bar worker whose name is Molly. You know, you've seen her enough times. She has kind of shoulder length red hair and she kind of slides it across you. Last one, all right?
All right, yeah, fine. It's your money.
Thank you. You doing all right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, better. Got some work.
You would recognize, and this is not totally unusual. You see people in all sorts of jobs around London that have magical things about them. She does have a magical aura about her, but it's nothing too major. It's just she happens to. She is there. All right, well, you know where to find me.
Behind the bar, right?
Yes.
All right. I'll take the pint and sit in the corner.
You take the pint and sit in the corner, and as you sit there, your phone begins to ring.
I'm guessing that the number is not one that I recognize.
No, you do not recognize this number at all.
Just put it on the table and let it kind of buzz, rattle on the table for a couple of seconds.
Halfway through this conversation, I'd like the focus to pull, and I'm just standing outside the pub looking around.
You see, it's outside the window you are sat behind. There's just this young man looking around, confused, on the phone to you.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, Inspector Buchanan.
It's just Declan.
Declan, of course. I'm terribly sorry. Yes, my name is Oliver Barker. I was wondering if I could perhaps make some use of your skills, your talents in tracking someone down. Speaking on behalf of the Council of Merlin.
Fuck. Did you say Barker?
Yes.
Any relation to the Barker clan? Whitechapel?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Well, nice. Fortunately, I suppose. Oh, I mean, which would you prefer?
Oh, we were about to agree on something there. Okay. Is that you outside?
Hello. Is that you inside?
Yeah.
You look different from the picture.
Do you want to come in?
I'm like going through. I've got a large coat, and I'm going through and hold up the picture. What? How is the picture different from how Declan looks?
It looks pretty similar to what Declan looks like now.
You look exactly like the picture.
Declan, you recognize this as a relatively recent photo of yourself taken in the Crick Institute.
Uh-oh.
On a security camera.
Right. Well, you better come in then.
Absolutely. Sure.
I'll walk through. It is my immediate instinct to order a Carling. And I'm like fighting it off.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you see the barmaid with the red hair just kind of calls, can I get you anything?
Yes. Could I have a Peroni, please?
Sure. I'm bottle all right?
Oh, yes. Absolutely fine. Yeah. Thank you. Cheers.
Okay. She goes, gets it for you, and you can go sit down with Declan.
Declan, hello.
Hi. So the council of Merlin gave you that and my number.
Yes. Apparently you're the man to ask.
Oh, what's that all of a sudden? Okay. Right. And you're do you know Monty?
Monty.
Goes by three card. Monty, 17 years old. Kind of a dickhead.
As a flashback, so if Monty's 17, I think I'm like early 20s from the sounds
like
of things.
22, 23, yeah.
So I'm at a garden barbecue, and I'm like wheeling myself around in one of those red red and orange plastic cars with the little doors that open, and then like a 6.5 year old Monty lunges in. Like from out of frame and barrels me out the car.
Yeah.
And then starts driving around and making broom noises.
You know what? That sounds. I think that's pretty accurate.
I mean, like, in a previous episode, you knocked somebody off an electric scooter and stole it.
That's so, like,
oh, there we go. You're still doing it now.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, the scene is framed exactly the same.
The same shots. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we cut back. Yes, I have a passing acquaintance with Montgomery. Yes. Why, do you know him?
I do, yeah. I was going to say we work together, but
okay.
He sort of works at me sometimes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that sounds...
We're sort of doing the same job in the same place and that, yeah.
Parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Molly just comes over and she drops your Peroni in front of you with a card reader ready.
Thank you. I've definitely got a watch.
Yeah, an Apple Watch.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Magic.
Magic. And then walk.
You truly are a wizard.
That's pounds coming out of your phone. Some sort of portable cash point. Yeah, I've been instructed by the Council of Merlin to find this chap. Jeremy Wallace is the name. He's an old council member, and rather disgraced, sort of left under a bit of a cloud. He used to live in Kensington, all very nice, but then he fled to Dagenham, and I just need to find him on behalf of the council.
Okay. So does the name Jeremy Wallace ring any bells?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Okay, I don't know much about the council's doings.
That makes two of us.
Right. Look, are they paying?
Oh, they're paying. They're paying handsomely. They're paying, Rosa.
Yeah, they are paying. Cool, yeah. They're offering everyone's day rate.
Okay, they're paying fairly. So I will say, just like, you know, man to man, the council, they're not really big on money because they're all immortal wizards. They live in like oubliettes and what. So they said they'll pay day rate. So you could say pretty much whatever you want.
All right. Okay.
As long as there's a pound symbol in front of it, don't ask for like memories or anything because they know that you're not on the level with that. But
sure.
Like what? They'll pay whatever you want. I should imagine.
They're not going to pay whatever you want.
I know.
Yes, they will.
I know that.
We've decided.
Yeah, cool. Cool. Just want to be clear.
This is one last job, and then I can get on the council, or at least start not having to go and do their dirty work.
Yeah, you can pay whatever you want. Yeah.
Right. I mean, within reason.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, I've done a couple of jobs lately for, obviously I can't say who. People have not been especially forthcoming about why I'm doing what I'm doing, why I'm looking for who I'm looking for, and sometimes even who it is that I am even looking for. You know, it's the kind of, go here and you'll find the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and then no more information than that. So what can you give me about this fella, about where he's, what did he do?
Well, what are you drinking?
I don't know. I think it's just a Stella or something.
Okay, sure. I'll wordlessly ask for another Stella.
You see, Molly just gives you a thumbs up from across the bar.
Just got, I mean, like she did say that was my last one.
Yeah,
I think that's just kind of like while Oliver is sort of looking away, I'll just kind of be like,
is she cutting off because you're drunk or because you're poor?
Oh, because I'm an alcoholic. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Because I've probably been drinking in here since the morning.
Right. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, I don't know this.
You see, she kind of pulls a pint glass out and starts filling it up with sparkling water and keeps an eye on you.
Zach, I think I've described everything from my briefing. So what do I relate to him?
In terms of why you're looking for him?
Yeah.
You want to find out, you the council suspect foul play with him. Mm-hmm. And they are, they want to know what and why he's suddenly fled from Kensington. He's left the council, he's resigned. Quite suspicious, very mm-hmm. sudden, and now living in Dagenham, doing God knows what.
Basically, bring him in for questioning.
Yeah, bring him in for questioning. Okay. They don't want him to necessarily know that they're looking into this, so maybe on the sly, try to figure out what's going on.
I
before
see.
Before you
okay.
bring him in, yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
But if it escalates to that, yeah.
So just to get the timeline right in my head, mm-hmm. from what I've been told, this guy was on the council?
He was an associate member of the council, so kind of in a similar position as Oliver.
Okay. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Does this council operate like an MLM? Because that's what it feels like. You know, you're bronze
there's a
council member,
joining fee.
And then a silver council member, and then you're like gold, and then platinum, and then a platinum leader, and then a platinum like...
Wait to see if Oliver tries to recruit all
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you never know.
Ivory platinum's the one you really want to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They only pay in Wizcoin.
So yeah, kind of a similar level to where Oliver's at in the council. And then just suddenly up and gone.
You just want to check this guy out?
Yeah, if you could put together, you know, your usual crew, I suppose is the term.
We'll include Monty.
Maybe just call me Oliver. Just like you don't need to mention my surname or anything. Oh, we don't need to, like, he probably won't recognize me now. I've been gone for a while, so. I imagine he probably won't clock me. It's just a bit easier, you know.
Sure, fine. One other, Margaret Mags. She's a member of the Lambeth Cooperative Society.
Which you know means werewolf.
Very colourful. Great, well, not a problem. That sounds fantastic.
Give me, I tell you what, I'll call him now and then we'll head to my office and move from there. It's just around the corner. All right.
Fantastic.
Oliver. Let's go.
Okay.
Monty, Mags, you are both rung up by Declan, I assume.
Yeah.
And you both simultaneously get into a group call with each other.
Hi, Monty.
I hang up immediately. And then you both get a text.
Yeah. The text says.
I made a terrible mistake. I was going to argue that in no way would Declan do a group call with anyone, but I think he just does it by accident.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, whatever. And you just get a text being like, look, meet at my office.
Excellent.
We have a job.
Monty, you, I presume, are at the Tower Hill Estates?
I'm on London Bridge doing
junior every day.
Stealing
stuff
from tourists and things.
Excellent. What has Monty been up to since we last saw Monty?
Monty has had a little bit of cash for the first time in some time.
Yes.
So I think he has been, I think he's been going on dates.
Oh!
You know, like, trying to prove himself the big man. He's got new tracksuit.
Oh.
New pair of trainers, which means shoes, by the way.
Trainers are shoes for the Americans. Which dating apps has Monty been using?
Has he used
Tingle? Has he been using Tingle?
Tinder for feet.
Tinder for feet. Tingle.
I'm so sorry, Grant. Grant's like the visible disgust.
Yeah, I think
Tinder not weird enough for you?
No.
We can make it weirder. So I think he's been doing that. I think a lot of the cash has sort of gone into the family fund.
Sure.
That's part of the deal. But he's got enough to get himself a new pair of trainers.
You wanna roll me a business check, also, see how much money?
You'll need a new fancy tracksuit because I did rip shreds out of the last one to fix up your vampire bite in the previous
cool
session.
Will a 9 do?
9 will absolutely do. So how much money of the £11,600 that you made over the last two mysteries, how much of that is in the family account straight away before you've spent any of it?
I think probably like 6,000.
6,000 straight into the family fund. You've got
maybe
about
even 10,000. I think I bought myself a tracksuit, a trainers, and a PS5, and I was like, this is the best day of my fucking
great
life.
Great, so you've got about £1,600. I think you've probably got about £200 left.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Great, amazing. Could you just quickly roll me like a streetwise check or whatever you use to nick from tourists, see how much you get.
It's 9 on the dice plus another 4, so 13.
Oh, fuck me. All right, Monty. You spy up this like banker looking motherfucker who like comes out near one of the buildings near like the town hall near like
they
the mayor's office.
They don't carry cash.
No, they don't.
Oh no.
But I've got an Apple Watch.
what you do spy is you don't spy cash. You don't spy like a thick wallet. You spy a wonderful watch. Mm-hmm, that's like easily worth like in the tens of thousands. So what would you like to do?
So he's a banker from Westminster, which I know by the cut of his suit, obviously.
Of course you do, yeah.
He hates the poor. So I think what I do...
It says it on his tie.
Yeah. It says his haircut says, I vote Tory, and that's enough.
Is Monty about to do a murder?
Doesn't need to murder him to make him miserable. It's fine. I think that he does a... Oh, sorry, mate. Can I just get a lighter? I need a lighter for my smoke. And then he just advances on the guy, like, slowly, till he's, like, backed up against the railing of the bridge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the guy's like, I don't smoke. I don't
sound
smoke.
Like a murder.
I don't smoke. No, sorry, no, I don't smoke.
Oh, come on,
no,
it's just...
No, I don't. Please, could you just back up, please, away and, from me?
And then I grab his hand and I'm like, and you've been pranked! Oh, and I'm like, there's cameras over there, there's cameras over there! This is the new American TV show!
Do I need to sign something?
yeah, I get him to sign something, just a blank signature.
Okay.
And then I take his watch. I pretend like this is one of those TV shows about ethics, and he has failed.
Oh, I'm so,
if only you had given the ragamuffin your lighter.
If you'd given the ragamuffin a cigarette, we would have
child
given you £10,000.
And we wouldn't have stolen your watch.
I need to go. Goodbye. just storms down the bridge, but you have his wallet.
Yeah. I take his watch. I have a great afternoon.
Excellent. And your phone buzzes as you kind of get away from this gentleman. And it's Declan saying to come to his office in Camden.
Great. I jump in somebody else's Uber as they get out of it.
Fuck.
And zip over.
Excellent.
And then run out of the Uber. Yeah,
you
no problem.
You zip over to Camden. Mags, where are we finding you? How have you been for the last 5 or so weeks?
I think Mags is okay. Lost that job at the library. Did not turn up. I think you find Mags once again wearing some sad business casual doing menial data entry in a solicitor's, like a really not good solicitor's office in Peckham or something.
What happened to all your money?
Yeah, I was going to say, roll me a business check. Let's see how you're doing.
Also a 9.
We've all rolled 9s on the dice.
So what have you done with your money?
So I do think that Mags gave some to Annie.
Yes.
To
you also get so you would have totaled from both the jobs that you've done about £11,600.
Right.
And the bad guys pay well.
Yeah,
the bad guys do pay well, huh?
I think I probably gave her about $3,000. I think like before we started all this, I would have think that, you know, Mags was well into her overdraft. Like we're talking like $3,000 paying off the overdraft to start with.
How much? $3,000 in the overdraft.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. That seems that like that shits me up. God damn. I
hate too real.
That.
It's too real. Yeah. That I hate this list.
Fucking straight up too real.
I'm scared.
So after you gave some money to Annie and you paid off your overdraft, you have about 5,600 pounds left.
And I do. I think, you know, Mags lives with the werewolf pack and things like that. And I would think that it's one of those things where, like, don't always make rent and, like, people are kind of cool with it, but there's an understanding that, like, when you have the money, you probably chip back in. Like, I think she's still got a bit of money left, but, like, this is not a kind of, like, hooray, I'm set for ages. No. Like, there's a reason she's back doing shit jobs.
Yeah, you've spent probably about $2,000 or $3,000 on your rent, other people's rent, food, other people's food.
Cleaning blood and a guy off the floor.
Sure, and also just, like, buying yourself things that you hadn't bought for ages, like clothes that don't have holes in them and like all those sorts of things. That
and it's amazing how quickly that money goes.
So I'll say with the nine, because it's not that bad, I'll say you probably have about $2,000 left.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How quickly all that money you said, God, we're making so much money. And now here, how quickly it
It'll come back to me.
Out of my overdraft, though.
Out of your overdraft.
For now.
Now.
Oh, don't. That is straight up too real.
What a fantastical world you're painting. what mysteries lie within occult London?
So, you get your text from Declan that says, please meet me at the offices.
We have a job, is the
right.
I think it probably just says job.
Job.
At the office.
Job, come to office.
Which, can I just say that Mags assumes that means another one for Yamina, one of the well-paying ones.
Yamina Masood.
I think, I mean, this is, do I have to leave work for this? How, what time of day
it
can
is,
I finish my
work? It's the middle of the day. I'd probably say it's about
Please keep three. Me waiting. like, I really want Oliver to be like nervously smoking cigarettes outside of an office for most of the day while you do some poxy data entry.
Okay. It is 3:00.
Yeah. Okay. In which case, I do think.
Yeah.
I just write like on my way and finish the day.
Finish the day. You finish at 5:00.
It's finish at 5:00. I have to get all the way up to North London.
Yeah. It's 2:00. You get there
like
about 6:30.
Yeah.
It's about. I'll say it's probably about 5:00 when Monty arrives. And Oliver, you are outside kind of nervously smoking and you spy an Uber pulls up with a very bemused looking driver.
You can hear them yelling at each other.
Yeah,
like,
And
Monty somehow got his SoundCloud playing on the Uber.
It's his own tracks.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a rap album.
No, he doesn't have his mixtape anymore. I destroyed it.
Roll out of the Uber. I think I'm maybe bodily pushed out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I brush down my new trackies, which are truly lurid. I think we're looking at like a neon orange with like stripes. It's no bueno.
Highly visible. Yeah.
Yeah.
White stripes rather than black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, it's Jolly Ollie.
Instantly clocked.
Monty.
All right, how you been, bruv?
Away. I've been to Oxford University. I've been
South Ponsey. Where's that?
Well, clues in the name, really. It's one of several universities in Oxford. I'm here. I'm your employer. On behalf of the Council of Merlin, just really love it if we didn't sort of go back over all the old sort of, you know, the how we grew up and, you know, how my parents sort of dragged me out and I'm not quite the black sheep because that would imply someone thought about me. Just more sort of an out, just like
I hug him and give him a sick noogie.
I'm not ready.
I was gonna say, now here's the thing, do you want to turn this into an encounter?
Can we have a wizard fight?
It's lightning crackles from the sky. My beard grows an extra 3 inches. My third eye opens and bleeds.
And no, I manifest a toy yellow and red car to
my weakness. Just hoon it at my head. None of that happens. I am disarmed by your enthusiasm.
I think that honestly, Monty's like well happy that Ollie's back. It's been ages. Excellent. What's he been doing? Something else.
I like to imagine that Monty thought that we had a lot of fun when we were growing up. Oh, yeah. And we did not have a lot of fun when we were growing up.
Yeah.
we smash cut to like Monty leaving me up a tree.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Or down a well.
Yeah.
It's the same flashback as before with the toy car, but it's from Monty's perspective. And it's this like laughing
so
and giggling
serene.
And shoving. And you're there going, yay!
Oh, can I have a go on your car? Oh, not a problem, Montgomery.
Monty covering you in jam and pushing you towards a wasp's nest.
Brotherly! Oh, such fun. And my mother looking on from the parents' area is like smiling happily and just so happy to see the cousins playing rather than actually pulling me away and putting me in a car for the duration of the barbecue. So I can't get stung anymore.
Could you just roll me, Monty, a quick streetwise check?
It's 7 + 4 = 11.
Oh, yeah, excellent. You know, you have obviously no problem with Ollie, but Netta Barker, you know, you've heard a couple times, like, oh, those fucking people.
The sheer idea of being on Netta Barker's bad side in any way, shape, or form.
Wallace and Penny Barker.
Wallace and Penny.
Who've not been invited to a christening for a while.
No. Yeah.
Oh, so it's even like a family thing. It's not even your fault necessarily. Yeah. It's just like your parents took you away.
Yeah. Like, I think it's solely my mum's fault. Mum married in, social climber.
Yep.
Yeah.
Used dad's connections in London to earn some money, tried to get out, and now I'm the hope.
Yeah.
And I really want no part of this. And I'm not working through anything from my actual childhood.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
A lore question that interests me. What's the relationship between the Council of Merlin? Is it Council, not Order? Order, yeah, Order is owls come in and attack us all because we've angered J.K. Rowling.
Go out, my turf owls. She just retches up 5 or 6 owls.
Yep. She's the last boss of this game.
We introduce J.K. Rowling as a thing that exists in this world just to
reverse Nana Barker.
She's Nana Barker's natural enemy. She just pukes owls.
She's where owls come from.
She turns owls into men.
J.K. Rowling.
Oh my god. Oh.
He's cracked the code.
sorry, the relationship between the Council of Merlin and...
Sorry, it was the Illuminati symbol. I just got excited. The relationship between the Council of Merlin and, like, the Barker clan?
The Mercury Collegium and the Barker clan?
Because Barker clan...
Nana Barker runs the Mercury Collegium.
Nana Barker runs the Mercury Collegium.
Yeah.
Which is wizards who don't want to play with other wizards, yeah. Essentially.
Right. And then the Council of Merlin are wizards who think all wizards should play together under them.
Yeah.
Right.
They're like wizards who love paperwork.
So naturally, a poor relationship.
Yeah.
Great. So the fact that a Barker is in line to maybe be involved in the council somewhere, that's a huge fucking deal, right?
Yeah, that's a massive fucking deal.
You will have to have worked very hard for that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And like, if I hadn't fucked up as many times, it would have gone so much better.
Yep. That's accurate.
That can be said about most things. I needed
to square that in my brain for that relationship.
Yep. We all arrive at the offices.
Yes, and you continue to smoke for another hour or so before how do you get there?
Sib.
Yeah. So you see just a woman in, I assume, business casual, who ill-fitting business casual walks up to the door.
A temp.
Not fancy.
Yeah.
I think I actually show up last.
Where have you been?
Where have you been? I've been in the pub.
Oh.
Like a different one.
Jeez, you've just been avoiding me?
I guess.
Yeah, no.
I think it was
sense.
Like, hey, yeah. I'll get the crew and we'll meet up later, the offices. Buddy. And I think I've overshot it a little bit and maybe fallen asleep somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm going to, like, only like half an hour.
Yeah.
I think Mag's like, gets there at like 5:30 and I'm not there till 6:00.
So you find yourself in the office with Ollie and Monty, Liz, and no Declan to be found.
Right. They're just sitting in this really dusty, like...
Well, if you're in, again, I hate to keep throwing wrenches. How do they get in? So if they are
I broke in, obviously.
Okay, yeah. Either you broke in or maybe even Max has a key.
Yeah,
I'm sure Max has a key, but I think I broke in because I was too impatient to wait
for
Max to get there.
Yeah. I like that you don't have a key.
No, obviously.
He would not.
Yeah.
Under
Declan
any circumstances.
Declan would never give Monty a key.
There's all checks. Yeah. Just in this dusty, dusty flat. Just the two of us. This guy who I don't know.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How do you know Declan?
Oh, we work together.
This is Ollie.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Yes. My name's Oliver. I'm here on behalf of the Council of Merlin.
Right, not the sisterhood.
Who, sorry?
No, like a different... He's a bloke, isn't he?
No, just the Council of Merlin, you know, British Library, that sort of thing.
I assume Ollie's pretty well put together if he's a social climber.
Better than Monty.
I mean,
high
bar. Your fluorescent orange tracksuit going on.
Ollie looks like he's trying.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, I think probably one of the best... analogues I can give you for Ollie is a moderately successful estate agent.
Right, yeah.
Like,
very shiny suit.
Like, well, that's the thing, like, he smells good, but too much.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of thing.
I 100% know what you're saying, yeah. I think Maddox feels a bit put out, kind of, in my polyester shirt, and I don't know if I have a good grasp of what a fancy dude is, but, like...
While these two are, like, getting to know each other, I'm in the bathroom.
Yes.
Taping...
God.
Taping antlers to myself to make an antler like mech suit.
Now what you're missing here is that
let Monty emerge
I did very much say just now that I fell asleep in the pub.
Oh fuck.
Oh no.
I'm wearing in the bathroom there is a bath full of antlers. Just fuck tons of antlers.
Well, where else would you put them?
Exactly.
On a deer?
Exactly. Mm. So Monty comes out. I think just as
sure,
Declan
sure.
begins,
you hear someone like
just as you
hear the door
up
kind
the
of slam downstairs, and then someone coming hurriedly up the stairs. And I guess Monty comes in being a robot made of antlers.
It's the full confluence of us trying to have like a pleasant, civilized
conversation. We haven't said anything to each other in 35 seconds.
Yeah.
There's a full like.
Yeah,
weather.
And then
the door to the office opens and you assume Declan walks in, but he's got his coat over his head.
Yeah.
And there's something holding up the sort of underside of the coat. As he comes through your door, he kind of pulls the coat off and throws it into a corner, and this man just has a full set of antlers growing out of his forehead.
Ah, right.
And at the same time, Monty bursts in.
Bursts in wearing...
Declan! I am from Scotland. Ugh. And pew pew pew. And he's like doing a fake like Godzilla fight against one of the couches as Declan
walks in.
I walk up to Monty.
Decky boy.
And I look really hard at him. And you've never seen a man want to hit a 17-year-old boy more.
My face hurts.
And then and I think obviously Molly gives him nothing, but just like, hey, as he always does. And I'll just sigh and sort of shamble past him and go into the bathroom, shut the door.
I just stare back at Ollie. Tea?
Yes, thank you. Very lovely. Okay.
You hear the sound of an angle grinder and some kind of muffled screaming.
It hurts?
Yeah.
So is this like normal?
It's a fae thing.
I
he doesn't like to talk about it.
Well,
so
I imagine why.
Yeah.
And the other half of this, is this normal?
As Moni's like drop kicking a couch.
Yeah. Just ripping chunks out of the upholstery with these horns.
Monty, why don't you help me make some tea?
No, I'll help.
Okay. No, I clatter over to the kitchen
Oh god!
There was a tiny moment where I could have made a friend.
Yeah,
and you just smash.
I'll make the tea.
Boom. Make the tea bleed.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I assume there's just 10 minutes of just
yeah,
just chaos.
So it's just it's simultaneously an electric kettle boiling and like angle grinder.
Yeah. Monty's smashing every remaining mug in this place.
Yeah.
It's
just pure chaos. And then like
I'm trying to help.
All
That's
of a
what's
sudden
important.
It just falls silent as you exit. The tea is made, and we all smash cut to a moment where you all sat around with a mug of tea.
Actual doing the game.
Yes.
Yeah. So, of course, that, yeah.
Okay, smash cut does drinking tea. There's a pile of, like, antlers and duct tape kind of behind the sofa. Declan's come back with his little nubbins.
Monty looks like someone's hit him. We don't look like that. We don't need a scene. Monty's just like, ow.
So,
hello everyone. I've been sent here on behalf of the Council of Merlin to investigate the disappearance of Mr. Jeremy Wallace. He's an old council member himself, or he's adjacent to the council, and he's disappeared. He's gone from Kensington to Dagenham, if you can believe it. And
kind of sounds like he defected.
Well, that's rather what we want to find out.
Wait.
Yes, I'm paying you.
No, not. Are you like in with a beardy white man now?
Just said he was here on behalf.
Yeah, but on behalf of his like contract or whatever. But when you say we,
I meant you and me and these other two individuals.
Sounds like you're avoiding the question, Ollie.
Yes, I'm also avoiding the question. Yes, I work for the fucking council. Yes.
Why?
Well, things weren't going so well in Putney.
What do you mean? Putney's all right.
It's not fucking Oxford, is it? Isaac Newton didn't study in fucking Putney, did he?
Who's Isaac?
Oh, my God. You're a wizard, you dipshit. Grow up. Sorry.
Just sipping tea.
Yeah, no, Monty is going to sulk now.
Declan enjoyed that.
Declan with a rejuvenated sense of self-worth.
I have been sent here to track down Mr. Wallace and work out why he has fled. And it would be better for me and just everyone involved in this if we find out why he's gone, what he's up to, maybe without him clocking that we're investigating him. And as I've already outlined to Declan, my employers will be paying your day rate, and they have very little concept of actual like real people money, so you can probably overquote them.
You didn't miss being a barker that much then, did you?
What do you mean? Stealing from people.
Yeah. You still.
I'm not stealing from people. You're stealing from people.
Oh, but you're.
I'm trying to get in. How many Eldritch councils did you try to join today?
I mean, I took an Uber here.
You took an Uber here?
Like, look. Look. Clearly, you got some bone to pick with whatever's going on. But, like, let's just find this bin, all right?
So, are you two related?
Yeah, perfect. Perfect scene, Ender.
End of scene.
Yeah.
I would say your best bet is to go to Dagenham first.
Okay, cool.
You guys can head over to the Tower Hill Straits, grab the van, and hop over.
Bundle
to...
into a white van.
Yeah, I think Ollie refuses to come into the estate, and we
100%.
Yeah, and we have to pick 100%. Him up.
100%. Yeah.
A couple of streets away.
I like. Does your nan like see through ravens and stuff? Like, are there ravens like watching me?
She's very much like unknowable power as far as with her.
So you arrive at the Tower Hill Estates, and Ollie, you kind of stay out, and you do see. You very nervously spy two ravens kind of just on a light post.
Two ravens smoking cigarettes and looking at me.
Yeah, they like ash on you.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
No. Okay. No, but you do spy two ravens kind of watching you ominously, and one of them kind of takes flight over towards the estate. Monty, you know that Nana has the keys.
I go and I grab the keys from Nana. I give her a kiss on the cheek.
All right, love.
And I tell her I love her because she's my nan.
I love you too, darling. Now,
I need the keys.
All right, you can have the keys. Where are you going?
Dagenham.
Dagenham, all right. What are you going down there for? You working with Declan? I don't think we had a job for you this week.
No, it's very weird. You remember Jolly Ollie?
You just two blocks away, there's like a chill up your spine.
Can I have cast divination to be watching?
Yes, 100%.
No.
Yes, 100% you can.
Just sitting behind you in the van, like, is he alright?
You see that Nana's demeanor visibly turns from being quite like chill to like
your cousin Oliver.
Yeah, little Jolly Ollie. He's not grown up very much, though he's got a nice, like, shirt thing going on. He looks a bit toff, but nice shoes.
And what's he got you doing?
Looking for a bloke and dagging them. So, yeah, I think that maybe he's going through it a little bit. It seems like he's not really, like, doing okay.
Where is he?
like my nose starts bleeding.
I'm fully expecting her to like reach through the just through the divination spell
to reach out of my mouth and choke me.
I give her his exact location.
An ear of his fingernails. And one of his milk teeth.
Ollie, you look away for a second, then you look back, and Nana Barker is directly in front of you.
Right, okay. So I figure like I'm a few streets out, and I'm like nervously hanging around and chain smoking, and then I have gone off into a side alley to do some divination so I can just see what...
Having a good look, are ya?
Grant is holding his nose like he has a nose, please.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, this is radio, isn't it? Yeah. Hello, Nana. Yes. Yeah, I've got...
You got a job, then?
I've got to be on my guard, you see.
Where me? Around your family?
Well, yeah.
What was that?
Well, because my parents fucked off, didn't they?
Yeah. How old are they?
Warded, I believe. Distant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mum's all right.
Spell will do that to you. Anyways, what are you doing with my money?
I'm sure your money is absolutely fine. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he can look after himself.
Smash cut to you. Nana's vanished in front of you.
Nana's vanished. I'm like, sick. Take the keys.
Found a bottle of vermouth from somewhere. Yeah, which yeah.
Drink.
sharing it with a pigeon.
Yeah, I've got I'm throwing like toddlers out of the van, and slam the door. The music is well up, and then I, as you're having this conversation, just up the street, you can feel the bass from like six blocks away.
Yeah, because you see the van that Monty got coming,
and I do a hand brake turn around the corner.
And who have you got them looking for then? Who are you working for?
You know who I'm working for now.
Oh, I do.
Why? You know who I'm working for?
Because I want to fucking hear it.
And you know how important
it is. I
want to
hear how you betrayed me.
I didn't betray you.
You fucking did.
I was 11.
Really good.
I couldn't do anything. My mum dragged us out of here.
Then why didn't you come back? Came down to this fucking city, this is the first time I'm fucking seeing you.
You don't seem that fucking happy to see me, Nana.
No.
No! So you can see why I wouldn't pop around and say hello!
You have fun, then.
And she just fucks off away.
A load more blood comes out of
it. Oh, God!
Tiny birds in it.
Yeah.
Feathers.
Yeah, so there's a load of feathers, and I try to put myself back together and turn around. It's like fucking Andrew WK with all the blood over, and there's blood. I smoke Benson Hedges or some straights. It's like soaked into the cigarette.
Oh,
hi.
God.
Hello. Yes, here we are. Sorry, something went wrong with the spell, and like roll into the back of the car. Has this day just got worse?
Yeah.
For me, which
even
is great.
Worse. Oh yeah, how this day's worse. Gotten worse for you? I don't know.
Monty, turn the fucking music down. All right, just down.
I just get one of those little tiny packs of Kleenex out of my bag and just offer one to Ollie.
Thank you.
You okay?
Oh yes, you're absolutely fine. Yes. Okay. Your Nana says hello.
Oh right, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, she is our Nana. Just so we're clear.
Yeah, well, she's more your Nana than mine.
I'm not sure that's how cousins work.
Okay.
And I just drive off to Dagenham.
To Dagenham.
And you head away to Dagenham. And that is where we are going to end today's episode. Boom. Thank you so much for listening. Can you all please tell me where people can find you?
Yeah, hi, I'm Liz Campbell. You can find me online at Liz X Campbell. That's Liz, the letter X Campbell.
Hello there. My name's Pip Gladwin. You can find me on Twitter at Pip_Gladwin.
I'm Naomi, and you can find me at Naomi Thinks all over the internet. And you can probably find the season 2 of The Kilda at The Kilda if I've done my goddamn job and written it.
And my name's Grant Howitt. I am G.S. Howitt, or G. Showitt, if you want to pronounce it incorrectly, pretty much everywhere. That's with Howitt with 2 T's. And I make role-playing games. If you thought me speaking was good, but too loud, you can see things I've written, such as Spire and Heart and Honey Heist and Jason Statham's Big Vacation.
Everyone's favorite.
Truly my magnum opus.
My name is Zachary Fortescom, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ZachFG. That's ZACKFG. And thank you so much for listening to Realms of Peril and Glory. The best way to support the show is by heading over to patreon.com/lightandtragic. That really does help keep the lights on over here and lets me buy everyone lunch. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Realms Pod. That's REALMSPOD. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye!
Bye. Bye.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.